Now, I plan to begin speaking on a topic, a seminar, which I have made notes for, which I expect will cover several hours. I hope to get through it before leaving this place of Lord Nrsimhadev. I pray to Lord Nrsimhadev to protect me, as it's a difficult topic. The topic is Vaishnavism is sexism. It's a difficult topic because as soon as the word sexism or sexist comes up, then immediately you know there's some controversy or there's some accusations, hot topic. Yeah, I got a little less light there. Well, there's not much light anyway. Yeah, it's a highly controversial topic. My aim in bringing this up is to establish that Krishna consciousness, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, is what is called sexist. What is meant by sexist, I'll get to shortly. How we deal with that is something else. Whether we play it down or play it up. But it is something that we cannot ignore if we are to be followers of Srila Prabhupada. And it's very difficult, even if we try to ignore it, because it's throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, which are widely distributed, which are the basis, books are the basis of this Krishna consciousness movement. And even if, for instance, our leaders decided at some point in the future, which is not impossible, to take out all the sexist statements in Prabhupada's books, I don't personally advocate that by any means whatsoever, but it's not impossible. But still, already millions of the books have been distributed. It is a hot issue. It is at odds with what is considered to be the politically correct worldview in the modern age, in the Western world especially. This term politically correct, it is another loaded term. It means that what you are supposed to believe, and if you don't believe it, you're in a lot of trouble. I personally feel that it is issues like this which are major, although not much discussed, in the cultural divide which is increasingly a major factor in the world between Islam and the rest of the world and Orthodox religion and modernized politically correct religion, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism also to some extent. Ayatollah Khomeini, famous name, he shocked the people of America by referring to America as the Great Satan, which America thinks, well, we're the good guys, you're the bad guys. But I can understand that from the Orthodox Islamic standpoint, that it is things like trying to foist on the Islamic world a liberal humanist view which is seen from the standpoint of Orthodox religion as being anti-family. The people of Orthodox religious outlook, they're horrified by this. They don't want American culture. So, anyway, there are many important ramifications of this. I believe it is discussed much in our movement, but it's mostly in terms of conservative and liberal, using terms imported from modern political, cultural, sociological, anthropological terminology. But in this seminar, I want to make the point that it's not so much a matter of being conservative or liberal as of following Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra or not following. That really shifts the whole discussion, doesn't it? Likely, as this is a controversial point, a controversial discussion, I'm likely to be accused for even bringing this discussion up, even though I'll mostly be reading from Srila Prabhupada, quoting from Srila Prabhupada and from various shastras. It is a difficult subject, no doubt, and I pray to Lord Nrsimhadev to protect me. I have acquired a reputation, so I'm told, of being a fanatic, which is, according to the definition that Srila Prabhupada gave, that religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or sometimes fanaticism. According to that definition of fanaticism, I am not a fanatic. I also learned the word misogynist when on the internet I was in a public semi-official ISKCON forum. I was accused of being a misogynist. It means a woman hater. But I believe that according to the same yardstick that you'd have to call Srila Prabhupada a misogynist, which I don't believe is true at all. He's the best friend of all living beings, men, women, children, non-humans, everyone. There's one seminar I already gave touching on similar, not exactly the same, but similar topics called Women, Masters or Mothers, examining what are the traditional roles of men and women, from the standpoint of Shastra and of that rare commodity called common sense. So today, on the day of Radhashtami, in which we as Gauriyas celebrate the appearance of Srimati Radharani, we are the topmost feminists in as much as our topmost object of worship is a woman. Transcendental woman. I'll get on with this subject. First of all, what is Vaishnavism? Well, that's well known among us. Vishnu asya devata iti Vaishnava. One who accepts Vishnu as their worshipable Lord is called a Vaishnava. So that's fairly straightforward. What is sexism? This is a fairly recently coined word in the English language, which is interesting, which means that there was no concept of it previously. It wasn't a formulated concept. The word was invented as a parallel to the word racism. Racism, there also previously wasn't a concept of this. It was considered normal and proper that white people would think that other people, especially black people or people of color, as they are now called. When I was a child, they were called Negroes, then they became blacks, and they became, in America, they became African-Americans, and now they're called people of color. And when that becomes a pejorative term, as it almost certainly will, then they'll have to invent something else. So this was a completely normal idea that whites are superior. One certain not so gentleman from not far from here, well, from Austria, he propagated the superiority of the Aryan race, giving the idea that Germans are Aryan and they are superior. Not just white, but even the Slavs. There are many people of Slavic origin in their present bodily construction present here. They're also inferior, Slav, slave. The two words are connected. You know that, huh? All right. So this idea of super, it was just presumed. And actually throughout human history, it's been presumed that one race is superior to another. It depends which race you happen to be in. The so-called democracy of Greece, it wasn't the democracy of the present age. There were people who were free and there were people who were not free. Different people had different rights. In the Vedic culture, there are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. They have different status. It's hierarchical. It's not all the same. And the idea that certain races are superior, that was presumed by the British in their going all over the world and conquering different peoples, and it appeared at the time that the British were superior, otherwise how were they able to subdue other people? And in my childhood, I used to get from the library children's books by Enid Blyton, in which they would use the word niggers, and it was just considered normal children's education. Those books are banned now. They used to be among the most popular books for children. And the term racism has come up with the idea that, according to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, all human beings are created equal, and so on. I don't remember it exactly. So racism is the idea that to mistreat others or to look down on them on the basis of race, which is officially illegal in many countries of the world, including the United States, where we see right up to the present day it's still a major factor in the culture of the country. And in fact, at the present time, there is a lot of discontent in the United States over the killing of an unarmed black youth by white policemen in Missouri State in the United States. This is particularly causing concern because it also happened some months ago in Florida, and there was a big court case, and the guy who did it, he was not a policeman, it was a vigilante who shot an unarmed black youth dead. And first, when the police were called, they said, okay, and he went home. And then later, there was a big outcry, and then he was arrested later, and he came to court, and he was not charged. I mean, he was let off free, so it caused a lot of disturbance. In other words, the words racism is still an issue in the United States, despite having a person of color as the president. So sexism is a similar idea too, that one should consider one sex superior to the other and discriminate against them to mistreat them on that basis. Again, it's a recent term because throughout history, in most cultures throughout the world, it has been presumed by and accepted by both men and women that men have a superior status. Sexism can refer to women mistreating men also, but generally it refers to men thinking that women are weaker, less intelligent, less important, and to mistreat them. And again, it could be women doing so to men. So some instances of this throughout history and at the present day. Is it possible to get a bit more light? Okay, here we go. Witch hunts, witch trials, witch burnings. That was going on throughout Europe for centuries. All over Europe, in America also. In India, up to fairly well, only where the hardcore Christians came. Otherwise, there are equivalents to witches, mostly men, but they're generally not burned. Coverture. Coverture means man and a woman marry, and legally, the woman has no separate identity from the husband. Yeah. Yes, that should be. Very helpful, thank you. Other marriage regulations, things like the woman is not allowed to work without the man's permission. She's not allowed to go outside the house without the man's permission. Yeah. Yeah. She has to dress the way he says. In other words, she has to be under the control of the husband. Now, you may notice that in our Krishna consciousness movement, we are not advocates of witch hunts and witch trials, but this point of that a woman should be a follower of her husband is something that Srila Prabhupada and Shastra have promoted. So some of these things are applicable in our movement, and some are not. Gender stereotyping, saying things like, oh, all women are stupid, or saying, oh, all men, they're stupid. So making some stereotypes. There is somewhat of a problem with trying to, although gender stereotyping is considered sexist, there is somewhat of a problem with trying to say that women and men are just the same in all respects, either in it, certainly not physically, even mentally, psychologically. That's also a controversial issue, because some people will say that, well, women, they're just, women like to be, women and men, they have different roles because they're trained socially like that, but they shouldn't be. So controversy comes up. I'm just introducing what is the meaning of sexism. The idea to think that men should be like this. Men should be tough and strong, and women should be sweet and submissive. That there is a masculine profile, and there is a feminine profile. To think like that, according to people who are opposed to sexism, is sexist. What is called sexist language? In other words, traditionally in the English language, terms would be, sentences would be constructed like this, that if someone says such and such, then he is a fool. Well, I guess the feminist wouldn't mind too much about that. But if it was she, but the point is that it should be he. Why not he or she? Why he? Why does it presume? Why do we presume that the person is a man? We talk about mankind. Why not humankind? So the language has changed recently. So now they'll say he or she, or some other writers. They say two or three times, one or two times he, and then three or four times she, and they, or they say he or she, or they say they, and they make it into a plural and avoid the whole thing. That doesn't come up in all languages. Many languages, they're gender neutral. In general, in general, for instance, Bengali is gender neutral. But I guess, yeah, there are female forms if you use the Sanskrit forms in Bengali. Sanskrit, you don't exactly say he or she, but by the verbs, by the verb forms or the noun forms, you can understand whether it's male or female. And the general form is male, but that can also be treated as neutral. Anyway. Occupational sexism, the idea that, well, men... Well, there are two things here. Unequal opportunities in work, different pay for doing the same job for women or men, and the idea that, well, men are good for instance, fighting in the army, for being heart surgeons, and women, they're good for being nurses and shop assistants. So even though legally there are still equal opportunities for men and women in all professions and all jobs, still we find, for instance, if at the airport check-in, you'll find it's mostly women who are doing the check-in. And among at the higher levels of science and medicine, it's mostly men. So President Obama recently brought in some legislation so that women should come to the top level of science, with the idea to eliminate sexism. But it could be considered that there are other factors, that it's not just discrimination against women, but that well, actually there have been some studies which show that women at the higher levels of intelligence, it's mostly men and not women. Although among common people, it's similar. But at the higher levels, you'll mostly find men who have that developed intelligence. Anyway, these are all highly controversial subjects. Wage gap, glass ceiling effect. That means that within a company or within a government institution or whatever, it glass ceiling means you can't see it, but there's nothing which actually, there's nothing actually visible stopping the women rising, but they just don't rise further. They go so far and they don't get promoted any further. I'm not going to get into all these topics in great detail, but there are arguments also that, for instance, it's often seen that women, they don't desire to rise higher because they're not so ambitious, or they prefer to instead of spending all their time at the office, they prefer to spend their time in doing other things. So it may not just be discrimination. Pornography is utilizing or exploiting the bodies of women. Some feminists are against it and some are for it. Prostitution, again, misusing women, although in many cases they may take to it voluntarily. Sexist jokes, dirty jokes, rape, child marriage, forcing children into marriage. They should be married at a young age. This anti-sexism goes against generations and generations of culture, which they say is wrong, but we see in cultures where there has been child marriage, it's, generally those cultures have been very stable, and well, we'll read a purport about this later. They're stable, and although women nowadays have freedom, but that freedom often translates that they have several children and no husband, and the children are left without, they may have the right to be free, but the children are left without the right to be raised with the father. So there are many issues involved here. But again, I'm not going to get into all of them because it's too big. I already have 29 pages of notes, of which I've done less than one third of the first page so far. controlling women's dressing, for instance, saying that they should wear a burqa when they go outside their house, or saying that they shouldn't wear very revealing clothes. This is considered sexist. They should be allowed how to dress as they like. Recently there have been what they're called sluts marches. That was there in America and Britain, where a slut, do you know this word? It's a derogatory term which means prostitute. So a woman who dresses in a very sexually provocative manner is sometimes called a slut. So recently in America and in Britain and in Delhi, they had a sluts march. In other words, yeah, we're going to dress. Don't tell us how we dress however we like. So that's considered sexism, to presume or that we have the right to tell anyone to dress in any particular way. In other words, they just want to strip down and destroy any culture that ever was there, it seems. Domestic violence. We hear a lot about domestic violence, men against women. There is also a lot women against men, by the way. But men generally don't report it. In education, better opportunities for men. Nowadays it's said that the education, because it's less disciplinary, it actually works against boys because they have a different psychology. I know myself at school that I learned very little at school, fortunately. I didn't like it at all. It was just at a time in Britain where they'd introduced that teachers are not allowed to physically discipline students. And it was illegal to do so. And there was chaos in the school because the teachers couldn't control the kids. And we didn't learn anything. There was one teacher who used to be in the army, and he didn't care about those rules, and he used to slap the boys, not the girls. He was the only teacher who the boys really liked and respected. He would slap them and call them bad names and make jokes about them. The boys loved him. So that's just a personal anecdote. Fashion, the idea that women in particular have to dress in a particular way to be attractive. On one hand, you've got some people saying that it's sexist to control the way they dress. And in the other hand, you've got people saying that, no, why? Oh, there's an interesting thing. There's some atheistic organization, Dawkins and Company, some atheist meeting, and some woman was addressing, and some feminist came and said, "Why are you dressed like that? You shouldn't dress like that. It's sexist," because she was dressed in a dress. And said, you're showing you're a woman, and they disrupted the whole atheism meeting because one of the speakers was dressed in the manner that you might normally think a woman should be dressed in. So sometimes it gets a bit bizarre. Even Richard Dawkins, he was complaining because there was a feminist saying that, well, we see science is sexist because you see they study subjects. I can't remember exactly. There's more emphasis given to subjects like such and such, in which we're studying solid, hard, cold matter instead of subjects which are light and feminine. And it's just really insane. Even Dawkins was fed up with it. Female infanticide and sex selective abortion. It doesn't happen in this country as far as we know. It's not part of the culture here, but it was rampant in China. They had the one child per family rule, and parents preferred to have sons, so they would either abort the fetus if it was a girl or kill the child if it was born a girl, and so on. Military service, women shouldn't be allowed in the military. Women should have the full right to go onto the battlefield and get their brains blasted out along with the men. That's the idea. So without getting too much into all these issues, these are just some of the issues which come under the title of sexism. Now, while discussing this, you might think, well, why are we discussing all this? Man, woman, this is all mundane, isn't it? This won't, if we discuss like this, won't it increase the bodily concept of life? Aren't we supposed to understand that we're not the body? We're not men, we're not women. It may divide men against women, women against men. Why are we even discussing these things? Well, I'm going to discuss it because Srila Prabhupada and Shastra discusses it, and it's always an issue in human society. And it is always an obstacle of the on the path of self-realization if, while understanding that we are spirit soul, we attempt to act fully on the platform of spirit soul when we're still materially conditioned. In other words, we may understand that we're all spirit soul and we're all not the body, and ultimately there's no difference between men and women. But as long as we have any material affinity or any desire for sense gratification, we have to be very, very careful in how we behave within this world of matter. Otherwise, we'll fall from the platform of self-realization. And the main obstacle in the path of self-realization is the Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridya Grantimahu Aho Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Moho Yamahamameti. The attraction between male and female is the binding force in material existence. From that expands the desire for home, property, identification with a country, children, family, relatives, society, friendship, love, wealth, all this. The illusion in thinking of terms in I, of in the illusion of thinking in terms of I, me, and mine begins from sexual attraction. So it is important that even though the accusation of sexism is against discriminating between men and women, but self-realization, the process of self-realization largely depends upon discriminating between. There's a difference between discriminating between men and women and discriminating men against or women against. So that's an important difference. Although persons who have no idea about spiritual realization or even basic human culture, they do not differentiate between and discriminating against. So regarding this bodily concept of life, I'm going to begin this accusation that by discussing sexism in terms of Vaishnav culture, that this will increase our bodily concept of life. It may do. It may certainly do, but the first quotation I'm going to read here now is from Vishakha Devi Dasi, a female disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who recalls, one day about 20 of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, including my husband and me, my husband and myself, were walking with him at Venice Beach in Los Angeles. After a while, Srila Prabhupada started talking about women, how they tend to be less spiritually intelligent than men and more inclined towards sense gratification. He spoke in this way for several minutes. Then he looked at me, right at me, with his special radiant look and said, "Don't you mind?" Everyone laughed. Srila Prabhupada was talking frankly about women, but he didn't want me to feel personally discouraged. I was laughing inside, too, because I was remembering something he had told us hundreds of times. You are not your body. You are not a man or a woman, but a spirit soul, a servant of God. I saw it that day more clearly than ever before. Srila Prabhupada was teasing me into understanding the first point of spiritual life, Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. That's the end of that quote. Recently, a female disciple of mine, who's married with children, who both before marriage and after marriage has been a very determined devotee, going through many difficulties. She's not particularly experiencing difficulties from her husband, as quite a few women complain, but for various reasons her life is full of difficulty. She said to me that she gave the example of another woman devotee in the area that she lives in, that she has accepted that this life is meant for suffering. So she's just reconciled herself to that. And about herself, she said that, yeah, I'm living as a wife and a mother, and I know that in one sense this is all unreal. My real life is with Krishna. But I know I have to go with this, through with this life, doing my duty. But I know it's all like a dream. So that's one attitude. Getting back to this sexism, Vaishnavism, is it sexism? Well, some of the things that we have discussed, or some of the points that are considered sexist, not good, we would agree with that. We don't agree with, for instance, having witch hunts and witch trials, making dirty jokes, prostitution, we don't encourage it. Srila Prabhupada said it can be allowed within society for low-class people. Pornography, we don't agree with that. Some other points, we are guilty of in the eyes of those who insist that society should be the way that they say it should be. That there should be no sexism. Some things Srila Prabhupada spoke about, and which are traditional in Vedic culture, we have to accept that it falls within the category of what they call sexism. And according to persons who raise this accusation, it's very, very wrong. But Srila Prabhupada, on the other hand, said that this modern society is just a society of cats and dogs, no human beings. So some of the things, just like, for instance, that child marriage, incidentally, it's not just the girls who are forced to marry, but the boys are also. And it's a completely different concept of human society and what is the role of a person in society. Because according to the modern liberal outlook, every person is an individual, has the right to live their life freely and do whatever they like within. Actually, there are many constraints, but there should be as few constraints on that as possible. But the traditional role in many, actually in all societies, but more pronouncedly in non-European societies, pre-industrial revolution, Western societies, that the person is considered a person as not as an individual, but as a part of society who has a duty and a responsibility, and you don't do whatever you like. Your personhood is developed and manifest in one's role in relationship to others, which is there for everyone, actually, because if people want to be completely independent, they can't be. We are dependent on others, so that we have duties and obligations to others. And, for instance, in Vedic society, as in many societies throughout the world, it's considered that it's the duty of everyone to get married and produce children. So you have to do it. And there is very little freedom in the modern sense. Whether that freedom is factual or not, that's another question. So-called freedom. How much freedom do you actually have? And how much is desirable, actually? And what it all stems from, these different outlook on life by which anti-sexism is promoted, it's on the basis of thinking that man is just, every living being is just a combination of chemicals. You have one life and you should enjoy it to the best of your ability. It's actually based on atheism. Whereas Vedic culture is based on the understanding that human life is one of many, it is achieved after many, many births and is meant for self-realization. The basis of self-realization, there has to be self-control. Self-control is facilitated by, in the beginning, by training and by external control. So there is a lot of control in such societies. So Srila Prabhupada was for child marriage. He was for different roles for men and women, with women having a generally subordinate social role, controlling not only women's dress attire, but everyone. Different standards for education for men and women. So many of the things that Srila Prabhupada taught us, which again, it's not just something that Srila Prabhupada made up, but it is from Shastra, as I will demonstrate with many quotes, and it is traditionally there in Vedic culture. It's on this basis. It has a basis. It's not arbitrary. So something Srila Prabhupada said would, and again it's coming from Shastra, would be considered wrong, stereotyping. Women are less intelligent. They should be married. They should have children. They should be housewives. They need to be protected. And even if women themselves feel like that, that yes, I don't want to work. I want to be a housewife. I want to have children. I want to serve my husband. Those who are anti-sexists or feminists, they would, even if women want to be like that, they would tell they would be against the women and say, you're thinking wrongly. You shouldn't think like that. You shouldn't say like that. They'll be very angry with them. They'll insist almost fascistically that we are right and you have to do it the way that we say. The way what you are doing is anti-woman, even though she's a woman herself. She's a woman. They say every woman should be free to choose the way she wants to dress. Well, I want to dress like this. Well, you're not allowed to dress like that because we don't like it. It shows that you're not allowed to dress in a distinctly feminine way. So it seems to be somewhat self-contradictory in that. They're so sure that they're right. They're atheists. They don't accept the roles that are actually... When we're talking about roles given in Shastra, we're talking about roles that are given by God, by the Supreme Lord, via Shastra, via tradition, for our benefit. It's the idea in feminist ideology is that the history of the human race is one of exploitation of women by men. It parallels Marxism, which says that the history of the human race is that of exploitation of the working classes by the moneyed classes. I said it stems from atheism, but we find within religious groups also within various religions, there are persons who agree that, yes, well, actually, we need to reinterpret the scriptures and reinterpret the tradition, that we need to redefine religion, the way it's been practiced for hundreds and thousands of years. to make it more equal. And actually, as I examine in this Women's Masters or Mothers thing, this seminar, all this arose particularly after the beginning of the Industrial Revolution and with the breakdown of traditional society. Within our movement also, this controversy is also going on. It's not so much of a controversy, because largely our leadership has opted to enforce a feministic model, which is more in line with modern liberal humanism than with Srila Prabhupada's teachings and the teachings of Shastra, although they'll say, no, it is in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So sexism, yeah, it's like I say, they'll insist on it. It's considered something unpardonably wrong. It's if for instance, we say that, well, a girl should be married young, they'll think it's considered something like being a Nazi or something like that, that you want to control the way people think and act. But there are many, many problems with this feministic theory. Although sexism is supposed to be not discriminating against either sex, but it largely works one way. I discussed all this in some detail in Women Masters or Mothers. This, all I'm saying now is mostly just an introduction. I'm mostly going to be reading quotes from Shastra, but I need a little introduction to get onto this. It's very hard to resist it in the modern age because you can actually be arrested for being sexist. You can be charged in a court. Just now in England, it's come out that over the last 15 or 20 years or so, there's been so much child abuse in one town in England done by Asians, which probably means Pakistanis. And the police knew about it, but they said, we didn't want to act because we were afraid we'd be charged with racism. So it's a very heavy thing, racism, sexism. If you say anything against homosexuals nowadays, they're like gods. They can do anything. They're beyond the law, practically, because if you try to say they're doing something wrong, then you're accused of being homophobic. So it's similar like that. If you appear to be racist or homophobic or sexist, you're considered to be unpardonably wrong. You are wrong, wrong, wrong. There's no question about it. It's like being anti-Jewish, like Hitler, and you deserve to be. Yeah, really. That's the way they get ballistic about it. Also, it is. I could even be arrested for even talking on this. I don't know how the laws are applied here. Maybe the town president will be arrested. Maybe all of you will be arrested for not protesting. You better protest, quick. So it's difficult to resist. It's much easier to go along with it and say, we also, we believe in, men and women should all be the same. And, well, actually, the point of this seminar is to point out that if we are to say that we are followers of Srila Prabhupada and of the Vedic tradition, then we have to fit into the category which is called and abhorred by the name of sexism. Again, how we deal with it, that is another question. I don't at all agree that we should deal with it by conforming with the modern demoniac outlook. I will read from Srila Prabhupada calling this demoniac, but there's no time for it now. We could continue a little later. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.